Welcome to Hellas Footy Podcast, episode 23. I'm your host, George. Let's get started. Michael, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, George. Nice to be back on
Yeah.
after a month or so. A lot has been happening as of late, and I'll begin by saying this: Greek football, the gift that keeps on giving.
Ain't that the truth, man? Ain't that the truth, Michael? It's your good catchphrase as well, Ev. So it's good to see you back on, mate. It's been a while, but it's good to see you.
Yes.
One guy that's mostly on, but has had a week or two off lately as well. Nico, how are you?
Yeah, no, I'm good. And as Michael said, he beat me to it. He's got to get those t-shirts going one day. The gift that keeps on giving,
Oh,
because it really is.
100%.
There's, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. There's so much to unpack and so much to dissect. So we may as well get into it.
Yep, lots to unpack, and we'll get into it from the word go here. It's a jam-packed episode. Anyway, we'll start with European matches, and what better to start with a pumping in Germany. Freiburg 5-0 over Olympiakos. Disgraceful from basically kickoff. Yeah, the team needed to make a statement of sorts because they were playing poorly and the coach was under pressure or starting to hear some noise in the background. Instead, they went out there and humiliated themselves. The game was effectively over by half time. It was 4-0. And I think only because the Germans took their foot off the accelerator, the game ended up 5-0. And whilst it was an embarrassing 5-0 result, I'd say if the Germans pushed like they did in the first half, it could have been anything. So, Nico, not much to say with that one, mate. And
Yeah, that was the final straw. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, pressure was building bad against Panathinaikos, but even worse against Balkan, even worse in the Freiburg game. Man, disgusting. The goals were nothing fancy. They were just simple balls into that striker. Forget his name, Gregorish, whatever his name is, or something. He always scores against you guys, and he did it again. And
Gregorich,
yeah, they knew the weaknesses. I've been saying from way back in the preseason, your big Achilles heel, the big weakness, is at centre back, and they ruthlessly exposed it. We've seen it now multiple times, even in the league domestically as well, but especially in Europe. And as you said, it wasn't top two was pretty much next to no chance, not only for you guys but for everyone. But it's the way you lost, and
It's
then
the
that
way we lost, yeah.
it's the way you lost. And we saw what happened after the game with the fans chanting to the players. I won't repeat what was chanted on here. We'll get into it all later with the coach. I think it goes way beyond the players and coach, though. Essentially, his hands are tied.
We will talk a little bit about that later on because, I don't disagree his hands were tied, but he willingly accept that the job the way it was in those circumstances. So, but we'll go back a little bit about that. Players got roasted by the club officials. They stayed in Germany till God knows what time. Then they flew back to Greece, went to Renti, stayed the night there, and then had a training session the next day, where everyone came out singing the coach's praises, which is a bit ironic because if the players really wanted to support their coach, the performance like that left a lot to be desired for because I think, like you're saying, Nicole, whilst our Achilles heel is our defensive line, these players, you don't concede a goal in the 3rd minute, the 8th minute, in any type of match like that.
Especially set pieces.
And the way we
Especially,
conceded them, exactly. A hat trick within 36 minutes, that's not football. Like how do you teams are starting to, teams figure themselves out within the first 15, 20, 30 minutes in games, and when we're and the game for us was effectively over before half time. So it was one of those results that just have to chalk up. I think you were saying, Nicole, one of the worst results for a Greek team in 15 years.
The worst, the heaviest in
The
terms of
heaviest.
margin.
And I think the one 15 years ago was us as well, Olympiacos. moving on from that, then we will discuss at length the issues that happening at Olympiacos, but we'll do that later on there. AEK Athens hosted Brighton. Brighton got the result, 1-0 win. A Pedro goal in the 55th minute was the difference. Well, Pedro penalty. Gasinovic got sent off, second yellow card in the 65th minute there. AEK had chances, had opportunities, pushed it, played, you know, went for it, but it wasn't meant to be for them in that match, unfortunately, either there. So puts them in a little bit of a tricky situation, which we'll talk about afterwards as well. Moving on, your mob, Nico, went to Spain, Villarreal, and you were getting done 3-0 at one stage. Bit of a fight back, but just fell short. Palacios in the 66th minute and Ioannidis in the 81st minute got two goals back and had a bit of a nervy ending to the match. How'd you see it?
Yeah, I mean, I was saying pre-game the day before to the Panathinaikos boys, let's get to nil or after 20 minutes. What you said before reminded me of that, about teams figuring each other out. Because our two previous European matches against Rennes, we were down and out after the first 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was. Early goals and soft goals. Our last game against Rennes, the ball basically went under Brignoli's legs off a free kick, a soft free kick. They went straight between his legs and in. So I said, let's try and keep it tight and grow into the game. And we did exactly that. I break this game down into thirds. Decent start without being spectacular. Being the away side and underdogs, I think we could be more pleased with it. Then just as you thought, maybe we can grow an extra leg and start to get on top, we concede one. And it's been a bit of a habit this season because our defense isn't statistically in the league. It's better than you guys, but in reality, it's not much better than yours. With reasons, we've got a lot of injuries at center back, and Villarreal, they're onto their third coach this season, and they ruthlessly exposed our current weakness. And when we concede one, we concede two, and that's what happened. And then you think 2-0 down at halftime, game over, and you start to panic and worry. Olympiacos caught five. We're going to replicate it a couple of hours later.
That's what I credit thought.
credit to our guys. I was so worried that was going to happen. Credit to our guys, though. The moment we clicked into gear, Villarreal were the ones shitting themselves, and ultimately we were unlucky. I don't know how I'm saying this, but we were unlucky. It wasn't 3-all in the end because we were so poor for that middle chunk. And Jovanovic is another criticism leveled at him that he's too reactive in the sense that he leaves his subs too late this season. If he acted a bit earlier, you never know. Ioannidis should have started this game. Criminally didn't. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes with conditioning, fitness. He's trying to rotate, give others a run and that. But the moment he came on, the game swung in our favour. He missed his penalty as well. Palacios followed up and scored. But I haven't seen him miss a penalty. I don't think, definitely not for a while. He's been ice cold from the spot this season. But he was brilliant when he came on. Our man of the match for me was Palacios. He's been great this season. He was a menace for the Villarreal backline in this game. Then, yeah, we make it 3-1. We make it 3-2. And there was time to make it 3-all. And
yeah,
8 minutes,
time, yeah.
7, 8 minutes of added time as well after that. And I thought I missed a sitter. At 3-1, I thought I missed, let's say, a one-on-one where it's probably easier to score than miss. Then we had a late chance, not a chance, it was a penalty shout that wasn't looked at. I thought it should have at least been looked at, pushing the back to Ioannidis. That was probably like the 94th minute, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that gets given and it's 3-all. Like for Olympiacos and AEK, result was, this might sound stupid, as good as irrelevant, because Europa clearly isn't our level, unfortunately. I wanted it to be ambitious. I wanted us to be in top two, but we've shown across the course of the five games that we're just not there yet at the moment. Our first campaign in Europe for such a long time as well. Got to take into account. But at least we fought. That's the one big takeaway. There was a reaction. And Olympiacos didn't bring that reaction.
No.
We brought it. Even AEK, we were saying off-air with Michael how good AEK were. They've had the hardest group of all four Greek clubs. They were great, probably the better side against Brighton.
Which is again, I mean, the point that you made with regards to the Europa League, it's.
I really wanted top two badly.
Well, I think everyone wanted top two, and then the way Ayak and you guys started, it looked like it. But look, is it a bit too far?
Maybe in terms of scenarios, Ayak might have it the hardest though because they've got to go play Ajax away in the final match day, who are coached by our old mate John Van Schip.
John Van Schip, who wanted the Ajax job as well. And he wanted Ajax. Don't you remember? Before they hired their coach, he was angling for it. It was like, anyway. One club,
you guys,
I guess.
The Serbs. You guys have the Serbs at home, isn't it?
Yeah,
You'll win that. Even us. We need a draw guys.
We were cruising against them 2-0, and then we should have had that game wrapped up, and then we end up having a 2-0 draw. So,
in hindsight, it would have been best for the three to follow Bulk's lead to drop down from the get go. We'll talk about Bulk now.
We'll talk about Bulk right now. They had a 2-1 win away from home against Eintracht Frankfurt. Bulk are holding their own and holding up Greece and, trying to drag Greece up the coefficient ladder on their own there. Marmoush in the 58th minute, Gedzioza in the 55th minute opened up the scoring for Bulk. Marmoush equalised for them. And then Zivkovic in the 73rd minute got the goal tally for Bulk, and that's how it ended up with a sending off for the Germans as well. Bulk, 5 games, 13 points.
Impressive.
And dropped points to Aberdeen, I think it was.
Two all.
Otherwise, they've had probably a perfect group stage so far.
And worth noting, George, Frankfurt were the highest ranked team that the Greek clubs faced in this match day. I don't think Panathinaikos, Ajax, or Olympiakos would have gone there and gotten that win.
No, exactly. Yeah.
And also, when was the last time a Greek team beat a German team back to back, home and away?
I can't remember.
This is probably the first time I've seen this.
Michael, even more so, when was the last time a Greek team had home and away wins in Europe?
And topped the group.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just home and away wins against a team, not even that. So look, you got to give Bulk the credit there. Lucescu has just been one angry man for the last whenever. But obviously, whatever he's doing, whatever he's saying to his team, he's galvanized that team, and they're playing nice baller in Europe. They're playing decent baller in Greece as well. And they're just quietly going about their business, and no fanfare, no nothing, just doing their bit.
I don't think it's quietly anymore.
Well, yeah, maybe.
In my opinion, nowhere near quiet at the moment. They're the team everyone should be talking about at the moment.
Well, they're not though. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
They're, and I think they like it like that as well. Look,
this was a good game. The perfect game plan. Frankfurt were up for it. They're one of the better sides in the whole Conference League.
100%.
Probably in the top 3-4 sides in the whole Conference League at the moment. And that Marmoush that you mentioned that scored for him, very, very handy player. And as I said, no other Greek club would have gone there and gotten that.
15 shots at goal, Eintracht Frankfurt, 7 of them on target. So they went to play 8 corners. So they pushed 56% possession of the ball on it. So, I mean, stats don't really talk about a game, but they went to win. No doubt about that there. So,
Michael, do you know the prize money for first in the Conference League?
Not on the top of my head, but I know Bulk have got a decent prize money into their coffers right now.
There's that account, Fotkow, I think they have all like prize monies and what clubs have won so far and all that kind of stuff. So, it's a Twitter account. that'll follow. That's where we get a lot of the coefficient rating. So they actually will tell you how much your team has
Okay.
won, how much your team has won so far. Now, when they get the money, I don't know, but like the prize money, you know, for wins, draws, and all those things there. So,
It's not only the prize money though, because now they've got a clear passage to the last 16
yes.
of the Conference League. They avoid the playoff round, so the other three Greek clubs have to fight tooth and nail to get to the last 16. And going on scenarios, I can rattle off some possible opponents for the other three. But what I was going to say is Balk has a clear passage until March. The other Greek clubs have a big game in a week's in about 10 days' time in Europe. Balk can rotate, relax, rest up.
They can do
Then
whatever.
the other Greek clubs have two extra games in February. Balk can just keep going, as you said, not, in my eyes, not under the radar, but keep full steam ahead in the league now. Because they're not far off top spot.
No,
They're playing well.
they're doing well. You know, got to give them all the credit in the world. They're doing all the right things there for them. So, look, all the power to them. The rest of the clubs will say it. All three clubs hold their, I guess what you know, they sit. All three clubs are sitting third. All three clubs
Yeah, they should.
should
Well, it's in
progress.
their hands, as you said before. It's in their hands. All I think all three just need a draw to get into the next phase. You guys most likely, Elaine shared it the other day with if you guys drop to the conference, I think Slovan Bratislava is looking like a likely opponent for us. It's Genk or Ferencváros, and for I can't remember off the top of my head. Someone of that level as well.
It's
But as you said,
and
they've got to get
Slovan isn't a
results.
isn't an easy team either. So anyway, we'll have to see. We'll preview that round when it comes up closer. But yeah, not a good week for clubs in Europe, bar Balk. And the projected finish that everyone was talking about, 14th to 15th,
That's gone.
that's gone. Unless you know one of our clubs or two of our clubs have deep runs, I think it's gone there. So that just adds more pressure for Greek football in general there. Super League, we'll move on from there. There was a midweek match on Thursday. For Volos had a 1-0 win over Panserraikos. So Volos, after a shocking bit of a weird start to the season, starting to pull some results there. Moraitis 54th minute penalty against Panserraikos there. On the weekend, Panetolikos 3-0 winners over Kifisia. Pedro Duarte double there for them. Asteras 1-0 win over Panserraikos. Miritelo in the 78th minute got the goals there for them. So Panserraikos starting to feel a bit of the pinch there after you know amazing start to the season. So still lots.
More than a pinch, George. You see the goal that they conceded.
Well,
That was just brain fart after brain fart after brain fart. It just up from a horrible back pass, and then Asteras pounced on it, and they should have. Then you see the goalkeeper coming out of it, coming out of his box for absolutely no reason, and the Asteras player dribbled past him, made the layoff to Mkhitaryan to score. That was just fucking comedy hour right there. You
well,
could
there.
you can literally just play some Benny Hill music over that
Just
goal and
around today.
yeah. Oh, just horror show from Panserraikos there.
Well, what do you do for them? Hopefully they get their season back on track a little bit after starting off well there. Atromitos and Pass had a one-all draw. Robail in the 64th minute opened up the scoring for Atromitos, and Eramuspe penalty in the 87th minute pulled one back for Pass, and that ended up as a one-all draw. So, not really a result any team can call home about, especially Pass, who are languishing down the bottom there. But we'll move on from that one there. Probably the biggest talking point of the round, Volos had a 2-2 draw with Olympiakos. Retsos got sent off in the 18th minute. Moraitis got the penalty, was saved, but he got the rebound and put it in the back of the net there. Just before half time, El Kabi got the penalty there. Migas foul, second yellow, so he got bounced as well. So it was 10 v 10 players going into half time. Second half, Garcia in the 51st minute got a penalty for the home side, and then a couple minutes later, Kaligoropoulos own goal for Volos made it 2-2. And that's how the game ended score wise. But, you know, many of you guys have seen the game. Two goals were disallowed for Olympiacos. I think both goals, the VAR line was a laugh. I don't even know how that line makes sense. I'm going to say my piece here, boys. All right. I know for years everyone's, because I read it all, and I know for years everyone's been saying, you know, Olympiacos has gotten away with murder. Fuck them. You know, it's their turn to cop the butchers. And I know Nico's laughing, right? Because he's the one that was saying it out loud. And yeah, okay, fair enough. Whatever. Whatever. They're fair comments from fans of other sides that have seen their team not get, you know, cop it like that. But these were VAR shockers. I don't know how these goals were disallowed. Maybe I'm blind. Maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe, you know, maybe there's a lot of maybes. I don't know. The Retsos card, yeah, red card. Fair
That's
enough.
A red.
That's a red, yeah. I don't know.
He's the weak, the guy, we're talking about weaknesses and defenses and shockers. He was the one of the main guys I was referring to.
Mm. So he's actually been – I thought he's been good for us. The problem is for guys like Retsos, I feel that he's been our dominant centre-back when it shouldn't be. He's not the – he shouldn't be the man, but he's taken the mantle of the man. Yeah, you know, and that's where we're at the moment there. You could see by his body, by his reaction after he got the red card that he knew it was a foul there, so I can cop that. Michael. Were they goals,
yep,
or weren't they goals?
No, they were clear-cut goals, George. This is exactly what happened much earlier in the earlier rounds with Ike Atromitos.
Correct.
That is where I lost my shit with the correct. VAR, disallowing a clear-cut goal for Atromito, where they drew the lines with the goalkeeper and the goal scorer. The goal scorer was clearly behind the goalkeeper. And how they drew the lines, I have no fucking clue, George. This is exactly what happened here with the Masuras goal, and you get the gist of what I'm saying, George.
Yeah.
It is a whole. This is not just a Greek problem. This is elsewhere too. Even in other sports as well, like rugby league. That's another problem too.
Don't go there.
What is this world become to? It's still human error. Like we can't. Yeah. We can't erase it. Like, no matter what technology we have in place to correct these, errors, it just results in the same problem.
Well, it results in a human error in another format. Which is worse because they have to look at it. They have to look at it and they have to like, and then they're talking about millimeters. But the thing that I never understood, and I still don't understand it, right? And maybe I'm an idiot here. How is there a line and then the line goes a little bit to the left?
Yes.
Like, as Michael said, it's a VAR problem around Europe, around the world.
Around the world. Anyone that's
around the world uses
VAR.
It's like deceiving because when you – how do you know that – how can you freeze the frame right when it's left the player's boot? That's another thing.
Yeah.
Then which camera angle, left or right? One side could show a player is clear onside. Another one can show him as clear offside.
So
I've seen my team in the Premier League cop it back to back weeks disallowed goals.
They were straight up disgraceful. Now I know the fan thing is a separate thing. It was VAR. Like a lot of people need to understand, it was VAR that pulled this back, not the referee. The referee, you know, called the goal. So. It was disgraceful. It was disgraceful. And I know, you know, again, fans are saying, suck shit.
Karma.
Karma. It's coming back to bite you in the ass. But a coach lost his job ultimately, and maybe this was the result, or that that broke the camel's back. But you know,
which I found, which I find George unfair.
I think 100%.
Why sack the coach? And I mean, this is typical Greek fashion. There's just Greeks have no patience. This is the perfect example of it. We'll get into the other two teams as well. They're fucking Malakias as well.
They're worse because they really didn't need to say. I mean, no club. Look, at the end of the day, we're talking about the coach being under pressure at Olympiacos, right? And I'll say my piece here as well. We desperately want at Olympiacos, from what I see, right? They want to play some style of football, right? And they get these young up-and-coming coaches, right? And it's the second time we've done it, right, in the last two seasons, where we get this young coach that wants to play this style of football that is entertaining and all kinds of stuff and possession base and all these malakias and all these superlatives that everyone talks about, right? But we don't have the patience to implement it. And when results go a little bit pear-shaped, the board's reactionary, you know, fair enough there. In that situation, what do you do? The problem that I see is that it's the club making these decisions, right? We need to move away from these young guys. And if this new coach that's reportedly coming in, Carlos Carvalho, or whatever his name is,
that's just a horrid appointment.
He'll be gone. You see his record?
At Sheffield Wednesday, yeah. Here's the difference, though, right? The bloke's nearly 60 years old. And Anastera's 15 years
old. But he'll be gone by March, April. He'll be sacked, realistically.
What I'm saying, he's coming into the hot seat. And, you know, it's a technical director that, you know, Cordon has gone on to look after all of, being the head man for the technical director for all of Marinakis's clubs, and we've gone and hired a technical director to look after Olympiacos at this stage, and apparently that's his boy. What I'm saying here, though, is that he looks like he's his own man. He plays his own style of football. He's not scared. He's got a career that's with a whole heap of short-term appointments. His last job was to keep a club in La Liga, which he did. Previously to that, he had a stint in the Arab leagues where he made a whole heap of money and got sacked after a few months. But then before that, he won the Portuguese Cup as well. Is he gonna survive? Probably not. Stacked up against him, the odds are against him. But what we do need, from my point of view, is a coach without Hidia, man. Like, I don't understand. Forget about the Greek League, because all our clubs that we support, like, well, not you, Michael, because your club's fucking languishing in the second division, unfortunately. But
there's problems there, George. Fucking, if I only had the time to get into it, but anyway.
But, you know, Olympiacos, Panathinaikos, Balk, AEK, all clubs are going to finish anywhere between first and fourth, right? Regardless, even with me coach, even with one of us coaching the teams, right? So it's about what we do in Europe, because Europe is more of a barometer. Europe is more 100%. Of the measure of where our teams are at rather than the Greek league, because, again, you can coach Panathinaikos, Nico, and I can coach Olympiacos, and we'd still finish either first, second, third, or fourth.
I've been saying this all season. It's Europe. Europe's number one priority.
Europe is where it shows where our teams are at. And when we're losing 5-0 and we're fucking waving the flag after 30 minutes, Jessica Martinez, as harsh as a sacking for him it was, it had to happen. Now, you talk about Nico, like, you know, it was Cordon that came in and he was essentially working under him.
Not even that. The problems go so deep. Again, my opinion, it means jack shit, really. I'm an outsider. I'm a Panathinaikos supporter, so you don't even have to accept it. But this is how I see it as an outsider trying to look in. You look at AEK, it's AEK to Almeida. You look at Balk, it's Balk to Lucescu. Or Panathinaikos to Ivan. Or Olympiacos to Pion. Who? What's Olympiacos' identity? What is it? And let me tell you another stat. I was informed just before we came on air. How old's Olympiacos? How many years old?
Yeah, one of the oldest. Yeah.
98.
Yeah, nearly 100
years.
Yeah.
How many coaches have they had in 98 years?
Oh, a lot.
111.
Yeah, there you go. So we're out
doing more coaches than years.
More coaches than years. I mean, look, you just have to look at the last 20 years to see the coaching carousel that's been at Olympiacos. Yeah, so
but what I'm trying to say is you've got the budget. We don't have it compared to you guys, but the other three, where they're streets ahead of Olympiacos, is they've got a set way. They've been molded under that one coach, and there's a core there, and even, stable.
And it took you guys a but
three seasons.
In fairness, it took three you guys seasons. A while to get that. It took Ake a while to get that. I mean, Lucescu left the first time Ake Balkan came back, so. You're right. No, you're right. The clubs have been a little bit patient and with their coaches and given them an opportunity.
But you won't want to hear the next part is you're putanes for Forest now, because Gordon's come in, he's done his bit. Now he's not gone, but he's there in the background, whatever, but he's not hands-on anymore. Everything now, this Portuguese club, it's an outsider, means jack shit, my opinion. It's all as if it's all on Forrest, the number one priority.
I don't think he hasn't sacked him. Yeah, I know.
But
yeah.
He's sacking left, right, and center in Greece in that time.
This is how I see it. I don't think we're where Forrest Wotan is, but what we are is you have an owner that is ultra reliant on Forrest, obviously collecting that £100 million a year, right?
And they will again this season.
So. You know, the first things first is they have to collect that money, right? So that his thing is make sure this club doesn't get relegated. But he lets them be. Again, like he just allows that to be, doesn't get involved. Even if there's shonky decisions, you don't see him.
It's civilized. It's civilized.
Olympiacos is his first love. He said it many times, right? Because now he's gone and bought another 2-3 clubs. And he's just part of the Haya in Greece, and he can't help himself. He knows that there's more leeway in Greece to get away with, the antics, so to speak,
It's changing. VAR stuff, as I said, karma, all that. But the off-field stuff we've got to talk about, things were disgraceful.
Well, yeah, the fans losing.
You had Volos players given oxygen.
That was a police. They fucking tear gassed the fans. They tear gassed the players. I saw that SDNA article. But if you
we've
see
had the points deductions for that,
Gala, but that was the cops. The
we've
police
had points deductions for that.
Yeah, but it's not
for
I
that.
Understand,
police.
I understand police. That. But the police are the ones that shot the tear gas and nailed the players.
I'm not suggesting they're going to get points deductions because they won't. It's looking like
the game.
Yeah, that's right. It's looking like, if anything, a couple of games behind closed doors.
No, we're playing the rest of the season behind closed doors. We're going there.
Second time offence. If this was us, points deductions, 100%.
Back in the day, that's how they
And again, this is what I was saying before, karma ke putsa.
I see from a lot of fans, and I'm like, fair enough, maybe they're seeing it'll come back and bite us in the ass, but... The way that game ended, it was disgraceful. The fans, it was disgraceful. Again, there's an element of fucking hooliganism within the game. Now, Martinakis
again, Avolo.
Yeah. Now we'll get into it. So
Martinakis. Yeah.
How many times have we seen it?
Well, yeah. No. Because there's
well,
an update.
He's been summoned,
to that.
Hasn't he?
Well, so he made all these statements, right? Now. Again, boys, let's pull this out into whatever. Most of what he said is there's probably an element of truth that there's an under thing in Greek football. That there's an underground element in Greek football that's we always talk about the game in Greece having some form of corruption, whatever it may be. So he keeps bringing it up. The problem now that he's got is he's brought it up so many times that I think one of the prosecutor in the parliament summons him, saying, "Come and tell us what you mean, because you say this."
Yeah.
Latest article stated that he's acknowledged the summons, but he won't be going. Maybe someone from the club maybe someone from the club will go. Now, my take on this again, I think it's one of those things where if someone's a whistleblower, there's a lot of people in Greek football that are going to go down. It's going to have a massive domino effect. So it's in everyone's interests probably to say nothing. That's what I think. So that's why they talk in tongues. There's this happening in Greek football. Elaborate. No. But this is happening. Everyone knows. I mean, we speak about this all the time, Nicol. You know, and we laugh about it. Yeah. Something's happening. There's all these, you know, unnamed people that are in Greek football, and they're there to destroy it, or they're there to look after their own interests or their club's interests and all that. They all know it, but I think no one's willing to talk about it. So Marinakis makes these comments because he said it so many times, and even a lot of fans now are turning on him saying, enough, like, you know, either go and name names, which might end up making him complicit in a lot of stuff as well. We don't know. Or stop and move on. So, 2-2, it ended. Bels was the peacekeeper, apparently. He told his team to go out there and finish the game. He rallied everyone and said, go out there, finish the game. We don't need any of these dramas. So, you know, there you go. One for the ages
If only that was the same case with the derby, finishing off the game.
Yes,
but that was my take on that. At least the game finished.
Yeah,
at least the game finished. And that's all I wanted to see.
How long left? What was there? Out of curiosity, I genuinely don't know.
It was at the end of the game.
Yeah. I thought it was dying minutes. I wasn't sure. Yeah,
there was eight or 9 minutes of injury time, and he just called it after four or five. So they just sat there. I don't know if you saw it. They were just kicking the ball against each other, doing nothing. Yeah, at the end, it was just like, all right, let's go.
The derby, Michael, we had to take a stand. I won't get into it anyway. We had it happen to us how many times?
I get it, Nicol, but yeah. There's just no consistency in this. That's the thing. So what happened here with the Vorlo game, it was the right call. So it should have happened with the derby too. But that's long gone now, and a decision was made elsewhere. That's just my take on it. And
the one thing that we can all agree to in situations like this is Greek football has never been consistent in anything they do. Yeah. And they never will be consistent. You know, a few years ago, teams were fucking getting fined for having flares, if you remember. You couldn't even bring a flare in. Flares have always been banned. All of a sudden, our stadiums are getting lit up like Christmas trees. It's all okay. But then again, when the flares and the firecrackers go off and they launch them at players, fucking all season they've been getting launched at players, right? And it's all been okay because no one's ever been injured. Then now when a player gets injured in a situation like this, all of a sudden, what are we doing bringing flares in? Greek football is higher with stuff like that, and they can't control it. They don't know how to control it, or they don't want to control it. There's that element that just, you know, you hear about how the security's all in with the groups, and they're allowing them to bring in all this paraphernalia into stadiums and all that kind of stuff. There's nothing consistent with Greek football, unfortunately.
If we start, we'll be here all night. I don't want to start. VAR, refs. How many teams in a third division? 60 odd teams in a third division.
And at least 10 are getting fucking 10 are going bankrupt every year. Nicol, let's move on from here because your boys had a big win, 4-0 win over Orphi. Opened up the scoring in the 30th minute. Was it Aitorn doubled the lead in the 62nd, Palacios in the 69th, and Ioannidis doubled his goal tally in the 91st minute. 4-0. Orphi got pumped. Their coach got the bullet after that match, but let's focus on your boys first. How did you see it?
Yeah, no, we'll start on us because I actually have some thoughts on the Offy coach sacking as well. But
as a disgrace
for us, rotated again. Lodigin, not the first time Lodigin's come in after a European game. Clean sheet again, assist even for Ioannidis' final goal.
Arao, we've seen he played in Europe as well. Arao at centre back, as I said, it's far from smooth sailing for us either. I don't think we're at Olympiacos' level of Chalia, especially with the off field, but on field, it's not smooth sailing for us at the moment, largely caused by injuries. We've got two fit centre backs at the moment out of the four. Palmer Brown was injured. They originally said like a 10-day injury. Now it's going to be over a 3-month injury somehow. Magnussen is essentially season at ACL. Jovanovic, I saw his presser after the Offie win. He said, we're signing a centre back in January. Hopefully they've already identified plan A, B, C, D. We need to be ready to go for early January, make that signing and strengthen, because we can't keep playing at all at centre back. His strength is a little bit higher, further up, shielding that back line. Palacios, again, sensational in this game, as he was in Europe. Good to see Ioannidis continue his strong scoring form. What's he going to be worth at the end of the season? I'd love to see him stay, but unlikely at this rate. What else from this game? Offie, they came to Leofortos, like most of these other, not Offie, aren't minnows, but they didn't threaten us. We were allowed to play our way, and we dictated it, and 4-0 is probably about right with the chances. We'll take it. As I said, not smooth sailing, still lots to fix from our point of view, but again, it depends on how you look at it. It's the result, as you said. The first half of the regular season's over and we're sitting in first place. It means nothing, but with these issues, especially in defence that I mentioned, we're still sitting in first. So if we can sort that out, goals against ours is the lowest in the league. Goals for ours is the highest in the league. If we can just get that consistency against Minnows, it's been near perfect. It's been perfect. We've just got to get a couple of more derby wins and we're flying. But let's see. It's going to go one way or the other is what I'm trying to say. To play out. December's a big month for us.
We'll talk about all the coaches after in one swoop there.
Yeah, that's better.
Bulk, 3-0 winners over La Mia there. Constantelius opened up the scoring. Suarez doubled the lead just before halftime. And just after halftime, Sastre got the third goal. Pretty academic win for for Bulk.
Easy win.
Yeah.
Easy win. But everything went their way for Bulk. Nothing more you can ask for them. It was very,
very good.
Yeah.
Look, they're not very good. They're looking very strong. Yeah. Probably the strongest I've seen them in quite a while. And this is actually very good to see from Balk. They're giving a real challenge this season.
And don't you love it when Constantelias has his shirt tucked in? That's how I know he's up for it and means business. Shirt tucked in, nice goal. One goal, one assist in this game.
Yep. He's doing well. He's doing well, the kid. So long may continue for him. And to wrap up the round, AEK 1-0 winners over Addis. Vida header in halfway through the second half was the difference there. Addis had a few chances there as well, probably unlucky not to put them away. But, AEK showing their strength to be able to hold on there and get the win as the champions do there. Grab the points there. As it sits now, Panathinaikos are on top on 31 points, AEK on 30, Balk 29, Olympiakos 28, Addis on 20 points, and Asteras wrap up the top six on 17 points. La Mia sitting seventh on 16, Ofi 15, Panathinaikos 13, Atromitos 12, Volos 11, Panetolikos 9, Bas 8, and Kifisia 8 points as well there. Now, to the big, the other big news, it was a sackathon of Greek football coaches this week, the last few days. Michael, Kifisia and Ofi have sacked their coaches. Yanis Anastasio and Valdas Dambrouskas have been punted with Olympiakos. Pretty much have done the same. All their media have stated the same thing. So, Michael, let's start with the Kifisia coach, Anastasio. Harsh or right call?
Harsh. You can argue it was a right call because where Kifisia is sitting in the ladder, but you can look at the teams around them. It's still close competition.
It's extremely close.
So they just got to last all season. They started okay. They faded a bit.
Look, they may have faded, but they've still got the football going. Like 100%. They're not playing bad football. They've just been unlucky. And I just find it harsh. They could have just given him more time, or at least until the end of the season.
Like, the attack. And then the attack let him down.
Yeah. And then
Dombrowskis.
That's worse.
That's much worse than harsh.
That's much worse than harsh. Look where they are in the table. Orphea still have a chance.
Last season, their run was that good that
if they ended up with more points than Panetolikos.
Yeah.
Although Panetolikos was in the top half, you know, the split system. But once it all was all said and done, they had more points than Panetolikos. Now, I know they had to play lesser opposition, etc., and all that stuff. But it was harsh. I don't know what they're trying to...
And he started well this season. It's not like it was just last season. He started well.
They sold their goalkeeper as well. You know, that was a big thing to move on. The name evades me.
Mandas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he was huge for them. And I don't know.
You know what the problem is? Michael might know. Who are these clubs, especially Kifisya? Where are they going? Who are they going to get at this point in time in this season that's better than what they had? Seriously.
Paraskos.
and that's why the gift that keeps on giving, as you say. That's a farce.
Yeah. Guys like him, Paraskos are the kind of coaches that are going to jump on the merry-go-round. And that's it. Even the other guy, what's his name? The other Hierro, that's, you know, coached about 100,000 times.
You just look at this, George, and your club, Gifisha, and Orfi. I've never seen. I'm probably never in my time following Greek football have disagreed with these sackings.
Yeah, the Orfi one takes the cake.
This is in a trot. I've never seen anything like this. I disagree with the sacking of Martinez. I disagree with the sacking of Anastasiou, and I disagree with the sacking of Dombrowskis, especially Dombrowskis, where Orfi are sitting in the table. They are within a chance of a top six fight. They're literally just behind Asteras.
What
are they thinking up here?
Who are they going to get? As I said, A, who are they going to get that's better? No one. B, if they somehow get someone that's better, where are they going to finish on the ladder? They're not going to finish fourth or fifth. You got the top four, and everyone's still way behind Dardis. The best of the rest are still way behind Dardis.
Yeah.
So everyone, the rest of them, their limit is sixth. That's their ceiling, the rest of them.
It's an interesting one for Dombrowskis, because he's been under pressure for the last few weeks, and I know a lot of fans. A few weeks ago, the Orfi fans accosted him, so to speak, after a match, and weren't happy with him again. And again, it's one of those things where you're letting the wrong people dictate to the club. With the Martinez ones, Ella.
This with the fans saying, this with the coach and all that, they're not happy. Again, this is where I come to my point about the patience in Greek football. It's typical Greek stuff. Like, Dombrowskis has barely been in the job for a year. He's not been there for a year. He came in, just past halfway last season, and they're saying, he's not good enough. You look at his record for Orfi, it's not bad. I've seen worse, though, but it's not bad.
It's a good record for Orfi.
and they sack him with a high percentage rate. Bloody great. Isn't that great? And fans are complaining, he's not good enough. Dombrowskis is one of those coaches who's young and upcoming. He wants to make a name for himself. You look what he's done in Croatia. He did great things there. I forgot the name of the club. I think it was Osijek or Hajduk. I can't remember exactly. And a club like Orfi pick him up. That was a great achievement in itself, right? And then, look, Orfi is a big challenge when you come and manage in Greece. Like, remember back in those days, Eugene Gerrard's what he went through for so many years.
But he put that, that's a different era.
But what that's I'm trying to say is,
that's what he gets compared to, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to compare Dambrauskas with Gerrard, but what I'm saying is Gerrard was a competent coach, and so was Dambrauskas. Dambrauskas had Offie playing good football and was given a challenge to these big clubs.
He's the kicker. He's the kicker with the two sackings, right? But take away the Olympiacos one, right? They're going to get a new coach in. The new coach is going to get told, we don't have any money. What the fuck are they going to do?
That's true too.
So it's not okay. So you're going to look at Olympiacos. You know they've got endless amounts of cash, right? So and one thing you can't say with Olympiacos is they spend and they spend and they spend big. So both coaches have been sacked. They're going to get new coaches. They're probably Kifisia is going to get someone from the Greek retirement, you know, table with all these old coaches are playing Tavli now, and like it's your turn, you know. Or he's going to try to be progressive because they if you see what they do, they try to be a progressive club, but they're going to go try to get some young progressive coach. Both clubs are going to have zero money to spend in January, and both clubs are probably going to be told Kifisia probably more so cut the wage bill as well.
Yeah. And they'll finish where they are.
And you're going to finish where they are on the ladder. Exactly. So
round and around and around in circles. We go.
Now, Olympiacos, Martinez. The one thing that I'm going to say, I said this to Stephen the other day. I think one of the biggest issues, and you nailed it as well today, Nicol, is our defense, right? So what he's tried to do is he's tried to shore up the defense by playing too many central defenders as well. You can't – Madi Kamara and Alexandropoulos starting together just doesn't work for me. And who do you bench? Well, you know, every time she hits a fan, it's Alexandropoulos that gets moved back to the bench there. Because, you know, look, you know, Kamara's a more competent player at that same age. Nico loves him as well. But I think what happened is the club didn't – expect Kamara to be there. I think they were expecting him to move on. He hung around. He started the season. And then we've had our defensive issues there. So he's trying to make it happen there. And then you've got the other guys like Santiago Chiesa as well coming in. The style of football that he was trying to play, it just was counterintuitive with the guys in the team there.
I feel, again, my opinion means nothing. I'm an outsider in all this. It's not my club.
I feel for him. 100% I feel for him as well. 100% I feel for him because he wanted to have a crack. This was a big job for him. The problem was, though, as well, if you look at it from afar, all the players that we brought in were his boys, and they came from clubs that got relegated mostly. How the fuck are we going to succeed in Europe?
I did say that, the Boras, and you're talking about Kimi, Bora, those types.
Like, how do you build success when you're bringing guys from failed teams? Now, okay, and they're not a – how do you – and then you move on guys like Papastathopoulos, who's been there and done that and at least knows what it means to play for Olympiacos, to bring in another 33, 34-year-old. So there was a lot of things that never made sense, and, you know, it's ruthless at the club. Everyone knows that, you know. But, you know, he bit the bullet at the end. So all three sackings, I think, are probably harsh, especially with the other two clubs, because they're not going to – the new coach can't going to come in, has zero money. But, Michael – Pesta, what you saying, Re?
Greek football, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yep, and it's a beautiful gift leading into Christmas as well. now,
Christmas came early.
Christmas came early, but yeah.
Oh, there's more to come. There's more to come.
There's more to come.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, there'll be more sackings. Don't you worry. And they'll happen before Christmas too. Greeks abroad, big week ahead, that's gone by, Nicol.
Heaps, yeah. Pavlidis again is the one that's leading the show there. It's interesting with him because remember years ago, 2-3 years ago, we used to sit on here and lament our lack of goals for the ethnic year and where are the goals going to come from, and we don't have strikers, and the ones we do, they can't replicate it at international level. We've got four that are banging the goals in, and Pavlidis is still killing it at AZ Alkmaar. I've paid close attention to him more so this season because Villa's been in the Conference League group stage, same group as them. He scored in Europe from the penalty spot. He scored again on the weekend. So he's the main Greek abroad that we probably need to talk about. The way AZ plays different though to the Ethniki, I've really seen it with, they've got a supply line for him. It's constant. It's wide players, crosses. They've got wingers. They've got attacking midfielders constantly. He's the focal point.
He's the focal point of what they're trying to say. Yeah, 100%. Whereas with the Ethniki or Mother, Bakasetas is our focal point.
Yeah. And yeah, it shows. Tsimikas, Michael's boy, assist. How many weeks still has he got remaining? Because there's Robertson that was injured, and
Tsimikas
had a run of 10 or so games, whatever it was.
They're saying Robertson's not due back till sometime in January, Michael.
Around there, yeah.
It's interesting. He's still the fans are off him, eh? I know the media. No. The media's off him.
Who on Tsimikas?
I don't read anything positive about him from my readings and
well, from the fans.
No, not sorry, from the fans. I'm mistaken that. From the wide media. They all keep talking about how the club needs to get another left back because you know, he's not the one that's gonna push Robertson, and you know.
Nah, I don't buy into it, George. It's just your typical modern day journalism. Like the journalism nowadays, I just don't. It's just a pile of fucking rubbish.
The thing with him though, and we've said this a million times, Robertson's going to come back, get straight on the bench. Timmy's going to go.
It was a crazy game, this one. 4-3 it ended. So they shipped four, but he got an assist.
He got the assist for the last goal, eh?
Yeah, and that's what you were probably saying with the criticisms.
Oh, look, I've been reading from the start. Like, I think, who was it? Like, was it Jamie Carragher or Steve McManaman or someone was saying that they need to get a better left-back in to push Robertson. This was from the start of the year. So all these Liverpool people are saying, you know, Robertson, he's starting to show his fragility as well. And that's the problem. For me, looking at Tsimikas, is that when Robertson's career is going to kind of go sideways at Liverpool, him and Tsimikas are going to go together.
Yeah.
That's a thing. And that's why Costa probably has accepted that. I don't think if Robertson ends up becoming a shocking player and a liability for him, they're not just going to say,
I'll buy someone.
They're going to buy someone and they're going to pay big bucks. And what's going to happen is Robertson, they love him there, so they're going to keep him, and Costa is going to be the one that moves on. That's how I see it anyway. So, and I think whilst he still has the opportunity, he should consider his options come season's end. But
Greg, who else Greeks abroad? Zorlis, he's playing, doing well. I don't know if he scored on the weekend, but he's doing very well. Yannoulis, playing consistent minutes, Siopis as well.
The one that actually spins me out a little bit is Duvikas. He's at Celta Vigo.
Yes.
Now I was following him. The last game he started,
scored. Yep.
And since then he's been a bench warmer.
Yeah, very weird that one.
Very, very weird. I don't know, Rafa Benitez. I don't know what he's doing there. He's got his boys there. He's got that Yaspas. Now, that guy is a club legend.
He's part of the furniture there, yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense what he's trying to do with the player there. So he's been coming on for a minute or, you know, 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there, if he's been coming on at all. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Ethniki or Mother, boys. We'll quickly touch on that. So, not to curse us, but if we do what we should do, the group is the potential group that we would be in if we get our way is Czech Republic, Turkey, and Portugal. Now, two words, Nico. I don't want to jinx it, and it's too soon to be talking about it. But first thoughts.
I said, you guys disagreed with me. I think this is one of the hardest possible groups we could have gotten. It's a hard, if we make it, of course. That's a separate issue. It's twofold. If we're going to take it from the start, I think we're going to be massively up against it. And it wouldn't shock me if either we go behind against the Kazakhstan, Georgia, Luxembourg, either we go behind or one of the games goes to extra time penalties or something crazy happens like that. That wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah,
I can see it being a nightmare, that month of March. If we get there, that game, that first game against you-know-who, that's not going to be for the faint-hearted.
It won't be.
Imagine, surely, everyone, he's got to be showing it, surely. Get an atmosphere going. It's like it's going to be at 2, 3 a.m. if we get there.
If we get there. Michael, tin or misses? We've lost him. Hello, Michali.
Yeah, sorry, I was in a phone call.
Don't worry, that's okay.
The Greek Romano is doing what the Greek Romano has to do.
Yes, exactly.
Silly season coming up, you know?
Jeez.
Hey?
Silly season, transfer season's coming up.
Yes.
The Greek Fabrizio had to take the calls.
Hagen takes a phone call during the podcast. I've heard it all. It's all right. I don't know if you guys have been noticed. I've been shooing my daughter away because she's been trying to tell me about. I don't even know what she was trying to tell me. Then she got the shits and left. Michael, if Greece were to qualify and we have a group of the Czech Republic, Turkey, and Portugal, tin or misses?
Third place finish at best.
Third?
Yeah.
At best?
Yeah.
At best, yeah.
Yeah.
Realistically, if we were to theoretically make the Euro, third place. Look, people talk about it's the hardest group ever. Personally, no. I've seen worse. It could have been worse, yeah. But I think we can do something against Turkey. We can definitely do something against Czech Republic. And maybe, possibly, you know, it could go one way or the other against Portugal.
Portugal's the last game, Michael.
And so that's
if they win their previous two.
Yeah.
Yeah, look. Again. If our first two games are Czech Republic and Turkey, then
they are.
Then we're within a real chance of qualifying. Then there's Portugal the last game. Try and make the best out of that game and try and at least snag a point. So I don't think it's a bad draw at all.
And it's worth noting the four best third places progressed to the last 16. So you can finish third. Portugal did it in 2016. You can finish third in your group. They won three group stage games and they won it, as you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a joke in itself, but anyway, it is what it is now.
That's how it is, yeah. Yeah, that's how the game is.
Let's get there. March is going to be a killer for us.
Yeah, it certainly will be. Boys, Greek Cup matches, they were supposed to be this weekend, but they've been postponed. The match with Olympiakos and Panathinaikos in the cup as well. So
Erdogan to thank for that.
What?
Yeah. I'm not joking.
Well, okay, yeah. Just
he's flying back in. No, he's flying in. He was due to fly into Athens, and he took up the police presence
for the day.
And threw it all out of whack. Yep.
I remember, just on a side note as well, my honeymoon, we head into Athens with my wife, and we go into our hotel, and we're driving into the city, and the taxi driver's telling me, "You came to Athens at this time?" I'm like, digging it there. Like, and he's just, it was chaos. It was a G13, G13. There was a world summit happening in there, and it was our honeymoon. So we got a nice hotel in Athens, and we pull up to the hotel, and it's like again, the roller shutters were down. The place was like a tip, right? I'm like, what the fuck have we? Roller shutters, graffiti everywhere. Anyway, he calls the hotel and he tells them we're here, and they open up a roller shutter. We go in. Hotel is amazing, right? So we go in, they're like, look, you can't leave. You know, you've got to stay in the hotel tonight. And I'm just like, ah. Oh. And I'm saying to my wife, fuck this, let's just go for a walk. So Anyway, we go for a walk, and it was like a war zone. There was, we didn't see any violence, but the amount of police and army and everything we saw out there, it was just another world. And yeah, and we had to go back to, as we were going back to the hotel, we had to call them so they can open up the roller door again. So it was just, anyway, so it's interesting and it's sad that, you know, a country has to essentially shut down when these things happen, but that's Greece for you there. So anyway, we put out a post. It was pretty late, so we've got Mukles at Mukles 111 making a comment here. So with Ofi and Kipisia both sacking their managers at the same time, a manager swap is surely on the cards. You know what? Kipisia could do worse. They could do worse than to take Dambrauskas, that's for sure. And Anastasio going the other way. So, yeah, anything's possible. I mean, Anastasio, put it this way, Anastasio will be coaching in the Super League before the end of the season.
Yeah, well, he coached us and did okay for a decent period with us. Same with Panathinaikos. He had a decent spell brief there. So, then he failed miserably.
So he'll be coaching someone, you know, probably Lamia. Probably.
The Lithuanian will probably head abroad.
Yeah, he'll get back to, yeah, he'll get a gig straight away as well, because I think out of all the sackings, he was the one that was probably the worst one, and I think he'll get a job with his eyes closed tomorrow. So, yeah, that's what it is. Ella, Michael, Nico, anything else?
No, we went through a fair bit, eh?
We went through a fair bit, considering that I thought we were going to wrap it. We've been on for an hour and a half there, but it doesn't matter.
It's only going to get more intense. It's going to be a lot more. Last season with goalposts and COVIDs, and if something's going to happen like that this season, it always does. As Michael says, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Absolutely.
The unpredictability. And
days of our lives.
And the inconsistency of Greek football will always mean that there'll be something to talk about. So
it's a soap opera.
It is. Yeah. It is. Look, that's we love it. We'll support it. We'll back our league till the end of the days, man. And you know, it's we can still be critical of it. So and our clubs, but that only means because we love it. Boys, good to see you, Michael. It's been a while, eh? So same too, Nico. I think the last time I spoke to you was actually the last podcast. So it's just life's been busy.
Long time, yeah.
It's all good. Good to see you guys. Everyone, thank you. Big thank you for listening. I mean, our numbers are pumping up as well, which is great. And we love it. So tell your friends, tell your family. We're getting a lot of people, boys, if you noticed, that aren't Greeks that are listening to the podcast. They just, you know, are fascinated with Greek football. So
you blame them. The play, the things, as we said, it's days of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, imagine like watching Greek football and seeing flares getting thrown onto the pitch.
And imagine if we make a qualify for our first major tournament in 10 years.
Anyway, what a country, eh? We win the Euros and we still can't get things right. But anyway, that's how we like it in Greece. We wouldn't have it any other way.
No.
But yeah, look, everyone, thank you for listening. Share the word, share the love. Comment, shoot us DMs if you have any comments or any suggestions or anything you guys want us to talk about. If we've missed out on anything, give us a shout if you're following from abroad. Let's find out, you know, the weird and wonderful places where people listen to us and follow our Greek, our account, our pride and joy of Greek football here for us there. Nico, Michael, on that note.
On that note.
Ella.
3, 2, 1.
1. Bummy.
Greek football, the gift that keeps on giving.